Going for two, why Indianapolis thinks it can land a second Super Bowl. The search for jobs leads Indiana to Times Square. Mike Pence delivers the GOP weekly address, and a tragedy highlights the need for the Lifeline Law. That plus Hoosiers who took part in the March on Washington and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending August 30,
2013. Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.
This week, the Indianapolis Super Bowl host committee decided to pursue Super Bowl 52 to be played in 2018. It's a decision based on the success of Super Bowl 46 just 18 months ago. It generated 1.1 million visitors and an economic impact of $176 million. The NFL has been notified of the intent to bid, and the league will decide in October if Indianapolis is eligible. The decision on the host city for the 2018 game will be made by team owners next May. Here is Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay, followed by Allison Melancton of the Indiana Sports Corporation.
It's going to be take a mighty effort. I'm not going to lie about that. We don't sell the beaches and the palm trees and the ocean and those sorts of things. But what we do sell is we do it better than anyone else.
A little bit about strategy. The competition is going to be very, very tough. Yes, we did a great job, but there's a lot more to it than that. So as we're sort of putting our strategy together, after October, you're probably going to hear less from me and the bid committee than you'd like. This is a very competitive process, and we know that we're going to hold our cards closely.
Will Indianapolis win the bid for Super Bowl 52? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike McDaniel. John Schwanis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV Statehouse reporter Jim Schella. Mike McDaniel, are the odds of winning better or worse this time around?
Better from the standpoint that we did such a great job here when we hosted the Super Bowl that people are still talking about it. The NFL puts a lot of stock in the fact that they want things to run smoothly. They want it to be successful. It was clearly one of the most successful ones they've ever had. And plus, some of the competitors or the cities that are going to, looks like, make bids are Minneapolis, who has a new stadium that's going to come online in 16, Denver, who has an outdoor stadium, and New Orleans, who will be celebrating their 300th anniversary of the creation of the city of New Orleans. So the competition's stiff. But we're going to have an outdoor Super Bowl between now and the time the finals are done, when it's held this coming February in New York City. If that doesn't go well, I think that will eliminate Denver from the mix because it's outdoors in February, and Denver may not be a good
idea. But
our
stadium will keep it in.
Sure.
Keep us in
there. And because we have a beautiful indoor stadium with a retractable roof, and we had such a great effort last time that I think we have a great shot of getting this thing done.
So it's a two-step process. You heard in the soundbite you just heard, Allison Melancton seemed to think that it's a given that we'll get past the first hurdle.
Well, I hope she's right. And based on performance last time, we ought to get past the first hurdle. But as Mike said, it's tough competition. It would be wonderful to have it here again. No doubt about it. It's great for the city. It's a great marketing tool. I'm all for it.
Big surprise when we got it. Last time. We're talking about getting another one here within 6 years. That's a high expectation.
It's a very high expectation, but probably the NFL will need some more ideas by then, because now everybody's using the ideas that they got from Indianapolis in 2012. And so by 2018, they'll need new ideas, Jim. It's probably a good place to get them from here. So, you know, I think the city was being rewarded last time for the new stadium. This time, the stadium's not new. It's going to be on its merits, as Mike said. And it's going to be an expensive proposition. It's going to take at least $30 million raised in the local community, and that's difficult.
Organizers think that's not a problem. And they got $25 million last time, right?
Good for them, and I hope that they can get it. But that's, you know, that's asking a lot of the corporate citizens, not to mention all of the costs that are borne by the city that are associated with this. So it's a big lift. It's a very big lift.
I mean, Indianapolis has proved that it can do it as well, if not better, than any other NFL city. I think that's the NFL probably.
Our experience staging big events.
Absolutely.
Is much better than other cities. I'd say in particular Denver, who didn't do well with the Democratic Convention.
Again, you look at other types of sports events, Indianapolis 500, Brickyard, you have the Final Four competitions that have for which Indianapolis has become something of a favorite. So I think from that standpoint, you can check that box on the application. They know Indianapolis can do it. I think Mike is right about the impact that the February 4th, I think it is, the Super Bowl 2014 in East Rutherford.
Farmers Almanac says it's going to be a bad
Farmers
day.
Almanac says, and I do have to take, I agree with Mark, with Mike that it's going to be telling, but I worry that if it's horrible weather and the Farmers Almanac is right, it will hurt Indianapolis, even though we have an indoor facility. The reason I say that, people will say, you know what, I liked it when we were going to Miami. I like it when we're going to New Orleans. And even if we've got the best indoor facility and we can keep every flake of snow off the field, if there's 2 feet of snow, and that's in the perception of the owners, if that's the situation in East Rutherford, they're going to say, take me to the warmer climes. So I think it could hurt us.
Warmer than Minnesota or Colorado. So.
Except I think Minnesota's new stadium is an indoor stadium.
It
I think
is
an indoor stadium.
Been around long
The economic impact on Indianapolis from this event was huge. And 84%, I think it was 89% of the money that came in came from outside central Indiana, but 84% of that money stayed here. And you had 250 hours of coverage, both national and international, for the Super Bowl. So the benefit of that, and when they're talking about what a great job
we did. It's kind of a no-brainer for people in Indianapolis to go after.
If you can raise the $30 million, it's an absolute no-brainer. The question is, from their perspective, whether it makes sense.
And there's an intangible. If you're a Super Bowl city, it's a very elite club. I don't know what the list of cities, but it's, I mean, you're not talking even a large subset of NFL cities.
It doesn't include Columbus, does it?
It doesn't include a whole lot of cities, believe me. So I think there is a very big intangible that makes it a real feather in Indianapolis's cap if it can get it again.
The state of Indiana is advertising in Times Square. It's a new marketing strategy for the Indiana Economic Development Corporation that is meant to take advantage of the 500,000 people who pass through Times Square every day. A pair of ads will alternate on a video screen popping up twice an hour. The goal is to bring new jobs to this state. The ads cost $65,000 and will run from now until the end of the year. Commerce Secretary Victor Smith.
We're using targeted messages to go to a lot of different high-tech states to tell our story. New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, California, to name a few.
And Delaney, is that a wise expenditure?
I don't know if they've been in Times Square lately, but I was there last month. And I'm not sure that the people that are passing through there on a regular basis are the kinds of entrepreneurs that we want out here, number one.
The governor was in Times Square last week. He was on Wall Street talking to folks about the state's credit rating, and he went down to see the ads.
Did he pose with the naked cowboy or the naked Indian that are there for pictures or with any of the other cartoon characters? We need to do something on the business front here because we're lagging behind nationally. We're a full percentage point and have been for 16 months, higher in unemployment than the national average. And, you know, the key signature issue that Mitch Daniels ran on was what percentage of the national income Hoosiers have. We had 91% when he took over. We have 86% now. We're going in the wrong direction. So clearly something has to be done, but this is, I mean, 65,000 is not even a drop in the bucket. It's like a drop in the thimble compared to what other states are doing.
Will it get them anything?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a great idea. One, you're getting two spots an hour. for every hour between now and 2014, $65,000 total. If you land one company as a result of this, you're going to more than make your money back from this thing, plus all the exposure you're getting. For the story itself nationally is phenomenal. You know, this is a wonderful thing. And as the guy from New York University said, they'll get their money back from this. It's an easy sell. And
$13. He also said that much like Ann, he avoids Times Square.
Well, he does. He does because he's a New Yorker. But $13 a spot for 15-second spots to an hour in Times Square is a pretty good buy. And, you know, we're adding jobs every day in the state. The announcement this week in Carmel with the governor and the mayor, with the new 675 jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, and what the guy cited, low business cost here, great central location, best business climate in the United States, and a place to live that people want to have families live in.
He also went to Culver.
He went to Culver, but he's moving it from San Diego, California.
Right. Yeah. But you know
Those are reasons.
Had total control for 9 years, and they have gotten every single idea they wanted from right to work on down, and we still are lagging. We're not lagging behind. We've gotten further behind.
I haven't yet to hear any ideas from the D's.
You have, as you point
I'm
out,
going Mike, any ideas.
As you point out, you don't need the D's. Yeah. You're running it all on your own, you're running it into the ground.
All right, let's try this, John Schwanis.
Give us some ideas.
This is actually a two-step process. If you're in Times Square and you see this ad, what it does, it directs you to a website where you need to go to actually find out about the business climate here. The percentage of the thousands of people who see this ad who go to the website is going to be small, I would guess.
Well, I think there are two factors. One is the question, what is the audience in Times Square? It may not be a lot of the Fortune 500 executives. And I'm not saying that in a disparaging way, but when you're in Times Square, you probably are a tourist, and you're probably thinking about getting away from work and business in the workaday world and trying to figure out how to get those decent tickets to whatever the latest show on, whatever you were thinking the activity was isn't what I was thinking, but they're trying to stand there and get tickets for the latest Broadway show. So it's probably not the kind of thing where you say, oh, honey, stop, get me a piece of paper so I can write down the website to find out more about Indiana. But Mike's right. If it gets one hit with a relatively small investment in terms of a hit being landing a company, it's worth it. And the buzz it's generating, if this were an ad on a commercial television station in New York or a buy, nobody would be talking about it. So if you get a little more free media to go with it, why not?
They do get points for new and different, right?
They get points for imagination and thinking about this to begin with and the whole idea of integrating social media. But it's not going far enough by any means, and they need to go much further.
They've got to spend a lot more than they spend.
You're right. They have to spend a lot more, and they have to be much more creative in the overall.
But if you really want to get the audience, you buy an ad in the Wall Street Journal or something like that, I think you probably get more eyeballs among decision makers than this.
Governor Mike Pence delivered the GOP weekly address this week. He is the sixth Indiana Republican to do so this year.
This health care law is weighing down our economy. It's costing jobs, discouraging investment, and making the future bleak for too many families.
He talked about Obamacare and the Healthy Indiana Plan, John Ketzenberger. That appearance coincides with a cover story in Town Hall magazine calling Mike Pence the face of the GOP. Will he run for president?
Well, it sure sounds like some people want him to, but he's got a problem if he courts that too much. Because his attention does need to be on running the state of Indiana and paying attention to the matters here, because of the criticism that Ann has been leveling consistently begins to stick even more if you don't start to see improvement. And that'll all come back to Mike Pence. And if it looks like he's got his eye off the ball, it won't matter that he wants to run for president, because he won't be able to. He will have a hard time winning here.
The Republicans like his communication ability. When he was in Congress, he gave this address multiple times.
Well, he was more than just giving those addresses. He was the official mouthpiece of the caucus. I mean, that was his role within the leadership structure in his position. That's not what it was called, but it was basically the message.
Right. The person conference who delivered chairman.
Conference chairman, or you deliver the message, basically. Yeah. And he's always been very effective at that. Former, public affairs television host and so forth. So it's I don't think it's surprising that they would turn to him for this kind of skill. I also suppose if he has an interest in the White House, and I would probably assume he does, historically he's better off coming back to Indianapolis mm-hmm. and running a campaign sort of against Washington as a state executive, with the exception of Barack Obama, who came out of the Senate. Most everybody else, you know, you go back right. as a governor right. or some other field.
Executive experience.
So, and it's hard to run against Washington gridlock if he had stayed, for instance, in the House. So
I think that's true.
His launch pad's much better here.
I think he learned something from Mitch Daniels. Is that even if you don't want to run for president, if you can get people talking about it, if you can get national publicity, that helps you out being governor.
Yeah, but they were talking about Mike Pence as a potential candidate last time.
He said he thought about it.
And there were people talking about him. His name came up on several lists last time. And so is it in the back of his mind for future consideration? Probably. But you can't leave a year and a half into your first term as governor when you just told the people of Indiana you want to be governor. And because it's a 2.5-year commitment to run for president of the United States, I just don't see how you leave a year and a half into that to go be gone every night, to go do what you got to do to raise the money and do the speeches and do the stuff all over this country. If he establishes a good record here because of his communication skills, he will be in consideration for many years to come until he decides what he wants to do.
He's already talking about running for re-election.
Well, good for him. I find it interesting that he's the face of the GOP and Ryan's the brains of the GOP. I think, you know, what are the parts of the anatomy of the GOP are we going to see? Look, I don't know whether he's running for
You're
president
back on
or
Times
not.
Square.
But I know that he has to get this house in order. And as long as we're lagging as we are on income and jobs, and, you know, he says this stuff about Obamacare, okay, and he says he wants to negotiate a deal. If you want to negotiate a deal, you sit down in good faith and negotiate. You don't attack on television. He doesn't have any interest in making it work for the 400,000 Hoosiers who don't have insurance.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question: should Governor Mike Pence run for president? Your choices are A, yes, it's his best opportunity. B, no, he should run for re-election. Or C, it's too early to decide. Last week's question was, is gay marriage an economic issue? 53% said yes, 47% said no. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. The death of an IU freshman revived interest this week in the state's lifeline law. According to authorities, Rachel Feige died after she fell down a flight of stairs at a house party. Although she was quickly found, help wasn't called for 6 hours because no one realized the severity of her injuries. IU officials are taking the opportunity to make the campus more aware of the state's lifeline law, which protects anyone who calls for help about an underage drinking injury or emergency. IU spokesman Mark Land.
We're looking at, you know, what more can we do? How can we reinforce these messages? Because, again, not only do we have all of these new students every year who haven't heard it and they're away from home for the first time, but we've also got all our returning students who it never hurts to reinforce these messages.
John Schwanes, who should be responsible for spreading that message?
Well, I think it's something that everybody can play a role in. There are organizations within the Bloomington campus, a coalition that actually grew out of the 2012 legislation that set up the law that makes speakers available and does sort of public awareness. That hasn't prevented, of course, a number of people on a number of campuses. I was looking at your alma mater, the Ball State student paper this week, where a number of students were saying, we're not as familiar with it as maybe we could be. And I'm sure after a tragedy like this, more people will be aware of it. I mean, I'm not saying it's, I guess the cliche is it sometimes takes a tragedy to remind people of the laws and the provisions that are out there.
State Senator Jim Merritt was an author of this law. He's been spending a lot of time this week trying to get liquor stores to agree to publicize it and also to get universities to make it part of freshman orientation.
It should be. And, you know, it's an unfortunate fact that a lot of things that go on campuses are dangerous to the students who are there. And, you know, you hope that they use common sense. This is a common sense approach to this. And I think that as students are aware of it, you might be able to avoid situations that can ultimately be deadly. So hopefully everybody that has a stake in this will have a role in making people aware of it.
Unfortunately, awareness may not be enough.
It's seldom enough, and the problem is that you've got young people, and their judgment isn't fully formed at that age, and that's part of the dilemma with it. I can't imagine the pain the family had to endure with that, and, you know, the mother, I thought, reacted extremely well in a what has to be an absolutely awful situation. I don't know what you do.
She doesn't want to blame anybody.
She doesn't want to blame anybody, and it, you know, she's right. It doesn't bring her back. But I think every group, including parents, have a responsibility to try to, you know, supplement. Once you send kids away, you know, they're on their own, even if the judgment isn't formed, and you got to hope for the best and pray for the best.
The law is important.
Very much so. This has got to be mandatory of every orientation program, every school in Indiana. Jim Merritt's done a good job of going around the state, talking to student groups, parent groups, anybody that'll listen about trying to do just that. He has Butler University made it part of their orientation. I applaud the fact that IU is trying to get the word out now. He even got the Big Red Liquor chain to help promote it inside their operations.
In Bloomington stores.
Well, they're also now in other cities around Indiana.
42.
So is that what it is? Yeah. Is that big now? So, anyway, people are starting to, but unfortunately it takes a situation like this. We're not even sure it applies in this situation, but it takes a situation like this to try to bring people back to the reality of why we need this in place.
On the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington this week, we talked with a couple of people who were there in 1963.
Cordelia Lewis Burks went to the March on Washington because she had experienced racism.
I think it was after the march, after the speech, that we realized the impact it would have.
The Reverend Richard Hamilton was there because he says he was taken by Martin Luther King Jr.
It was a wonderful atmosphere, really. Even before King spoke, people were glad to see each other.
Hamilton says he knew he was witnessing history.
And I really did have just the kind of sense that this was going to be a turning point in the country. It didn't do away with all the problems, but it changed the atmosphere and the sense of hope. People left there on a high note.
And we knew that our responsibility was to come back and get our community registered to vote and get them out to vote. And that was our mission.
For Cordelia Lewis Burks, the mission continues. She believes that the issues that prompted the March on Washington, economic and educational disparity and voting rights, still affect minorities.
I'm hoping that everybody is cognizant of the fact that the march continues and we've got to do more than march.
Both Lewis Burks and Hamilton say they are glad they went.
And President Obama said that day belongs to the people who didn't get their names in the history books. And Delaney, did the March on Washington have an effect here? Does it still have an effect here?
I think it still has an effect. I think it's a rallying cry, and it pointed out so many injustices. And we still have a long way to go. I mean, Cordelia and the Reverend Hamilton went, and Father Munchauer went. A number of people from Indianapolis went.
Busloads.
And you know what? More power to them for having the initiative to go out there. You know, when President Obama spoke this last time around, every Republican in Congress was invited. None of them came. I think it would have been good if some of them had come.
This got lots of notice across the country this week. Is it warranted?
Absolutely. This was clearly one of the great speeches in American history. It's probably one of the most quoted speeches in American history, besides the ones that Joe was here, Gettysburg Address and some of those. But this one is probably quoted more by this new generation of people than any speech in American history.
And it was a key in the civil rights movement.
Absolutely.
It made things happen. Finally, there was a reunion this week between rescuers and the boy they dug out from 11 feet of sand on the banks of Lake Michigan. Nathan Westner is fully recovered from his experience in July. The 60-year-old spent 3 hours buried in a sinkhole at Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore after he went into a restricted area. He was in critical condition for days, but now his mother, Faith Westner, says he is just a typical first grade boy.
He's exactly the same as he was before. Just being there with him and touching him and feeling him and kissing him, that's all I wanted to do was just touch him and hold him.
Mike McDaniel, do first responders get the recognition they deserve?
They're starting to. I think since 9/11, people realize that they're putting their lives in danger every day, and events like this only help underline that. 139 people were involved in this rescue and turned what could have been a tragic story into a miraculous positive thing.
And the governor went up there this week to make sure that everybody got recognized.
I think that's great. But, I mean, talk about the two bookends. You have the girl in Bloomington and you have the boy in the end. Wow.
Yeah, much better result here. And
no question about that.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast or starting Monday. You can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.